God. Hallelujah to the King of heaven. Hallelujah to the Creator of all good. Hallelujah to the giver of every good and perfect gift. Hallelujah to our peace. Hallelujah to our joy. Hallelujah to our wisdom. Hallelujah to the understanding which He gives. Hallelujah to the Spirit of God who gives us witness in our spirits as to our place in the family of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We bless you, Father, for these wonderful things which you have done over and over and over and over and over again. You demonstrate unto us your provision for us and your love towards us, your compassion, not only towards us, but to those that we love and care about, those that we work with and those that are part of our families and those that are our neighbors. We know, Father, that you love them and that you're loving them through us. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to be co-laborers with you in the work of the kingdom of God and in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, that our responsibility is to speak a good word in season and out of season. It's our responsibility and our opportunity to be channels of your love, that you might flow your love through us to these people that are so desperately in need of love, and to have just someone to love them without desiring anything in return. We thank you, Father, that you have given us custody of the Word of God in the earth, and we have the privilege to share the Word of God, which is the power of God in the earth, and that as we speak your Word, we release your power into these situations. We thank you, Father, that we are working and laboring with you, and as Jesus said, my Father worketh and I work. And we say the same thing today, our Father worketh and we work. We're working together. We release, Father, today the authority that Jesus has given to us, the church. We release that authority, Father, and ask you to minister to these people who are so desperately in need. We rebuke suicide spirits and depressing spirits right now in the name of Jesus. We command that every Christian be loose from these kinds of oppressions in the name of Jesus, and unbelievers be set free by the power of God in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that you would loose your Holy Spirit upon the earth at this time of the year in such a tremendous measure that demon spirits would not be able to stand in the presence of the Holy Ghost, that they would flee in the presence of the Lord, that the light of your word, Father, would shine upon the world and drive away every darkness, drive the darkness out of the minds of these people that are so bound and so vulnerable. We pray, Father, for healing for those that are in need of healing. We pray for deliverance, Father, for those that we have mentioned who are bound. We know that's your will. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to set at liberty those that are captive and to deliver them out of the prisons. For those, Father, that are having difficulty spiritual, emotional, or physical, we pray this morning. We ask you, Lord, for the compassionate hand of our God to minister in each life and each circumstance. We pray, Father, for every believer that is struggling today with sin and with temptation. We ask you, Father, for the strength which is produced by your word, the strength of the Holy Spirit, to enable each believer to stand firm and to resist the devil, that he would flee, even as you promised. We pray this morning, our Father, for our families. For so many of us, Father, have families that are many miles away from us, and we'd like to be with them at this Christmas time. Lord, even if we were there, what we really want for them is the ministry of the love of God in their lives. We ask you, Father, to use this Christmas season and use the softening that takes place in people's hearts through the Christmas time to minister the love of Jesus to our families, especially. We thank you, Father, for the way that you're answering our prayers. And for just last week, Father, that you took the prayer that Jack and Reggie mentioned and you answered it that quickly just an hour later in the service. We know, Father, as we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we know that if you did it there for them in that situation, that you'll do it for us also in our situation. So we're encouraged by what you've done. We're encouraged by our experience as well as by your promises. So we want you to know, Father, that we praise you today for the answers to these prayers. We praise you today for satisfaction for the desires of our heart that we've lifted to you. We praise you today and bless you, Father, for Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. So we believe that we receive the answers to these prayers done and accomplished. We know that we shall have them, and we thank you for it. Jesus, we pray. It's good to know that when you pray, that you get up, that the prayers get answered, isn't it? Huh? All right, Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's turn over there. We want I want to deal with one aspect of patience that we talked about last week at great length. I want to deal with one more aspect of patience, and then we want to begin to deal with this matter of chastening. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We discussed at length last week that patience means literally endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, constancy, remaining the same regardless of the circumstances. It means standing fast on the promises and the Word of God, regardless of what the circumstances look like. We said that in this life there will be attacks against us. That circumstances, as we run the race of life, circumstances are going to be constantly changing. The devil is going to be working in circumstances to make them look as negative as possible in order to get us off of our faith. But if we will run the race with patience, which is steadfastness and endurance, if we'll stand fast, that patience will keep us. Now, Jesus talked about that over in Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter. And I want you to turn over there because I want you to see this one verse. Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter. Verse number 14. I'm going to start there. This is not the key verse, but I want you to get the context so that we can tie it in with what we've been studying. Jesus is talking here about persecution. He's talking about the time when his followers will be persecuted for their faith in him, and that there would be difficult times. He's talking here specifically about tribulation times. He says there's going to be great earthquakes. There's going to be signs in the heavens. It's going to be a terrible time upon the earth. And he's given instructions, and he's saying this, verse 14. He's saying that they will take you before the magistrates and before the governors and will accuse you. And this is his counsel. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Make a decision in your heart how it is you're going to live. In this case, decide in your heart that you will not worry about what kind of an answer you're going to give when they accuse you or ask you, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? You don't take any account ahead of time. What are you going to say? Because, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now the parallel is in living the Christian life. Settle it in your hearts beforehand. When I receive Jesus, I'm going to receive him no matter what anybody says, no matter what trials come because of it. I'm going to live my life for Christ no matter what. That would be the parallel here. Settle it in your heart beforehand. You know, one of the things that the devil uses to keep people out of the kingdom of God is, am I going to be able to live the Christian life? What am I going to tell my family? What am I going to tell my husband or my wife or my mother or my father? What am I going to tell my relatives? What am I going to tell my boss? How am I going to be able to do these? Because I know the devil put all these thoughts in your mind. I'm going to have to give up all my friends. I'm going to have to give up all this. I'm going to have to give up all that. Jesus said in another place, count the cost. Here he's saying, settle it in your heart beforehand. When you receive Christ, you make a decision here, not here. You see, this won't get you to heaven anyway. This won't get you born again, only here. Settle it in your heart ahead of time. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ no matter what. In this case here, he's saying, settle it in your heart that I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to say in defense of my faith or in defense of my Savior. And he said, because I'm going to carry you through that. I'll be with you. I will give you wisdom, and I will give you a voice. I'll put words in your mouth that your adversary shall not be able to gainsay. They won't be able to argue against, or they won't be able to resist it. He said, I will give you my wisdom. I will give you my word. So don't worry about what might happen. I tell you, Christians are so beaten down with what might happen tomorrow, or what might happen the day after tomorrow, or what might happen next week, or might happen next year. And God never made us to be dealing with that. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't be anxious concerning tomorrow. That's what he's saying here. Don't you worry about the future. You settle it in your heart that you're not going to worry. Don't worry. You make a decision. I will not worry, because I'm going to take care of it. I will give you the words. All right. You see how that relates to every area of life, even though if you do say yes. If you do say yes.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Don't say yes if you don't, but if you do, that way I'll know that you're following me. All right. Verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He said, now you're going to have troubles. There will be tribulation and trials. I'm not promising you rose garden, so to speak. There's going to be difficulty. I'm telling you that that's the way it is. He said in another place just before he died, he said, as long as you live in the world, you're going to have tribulation. I mean, that's part of it, because we're living in a foreign country. This is not our land. You understand what I mean, foreign country, spiritually. Heaven is our home. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we are strangers and pilgrims, foreigners in the earth. And if you're a foreigner in a strange place, and especially where it's ruled over by a wicked and cruel God, whose name is Satan, you're going to have trouble there. You're just going to have difficulty. You might as well know that that's part of what it's going to be like. We're going to have that. And he said, but verse 18, he said, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. He said, I give you my word. I make a promise to you that I will protect you and I will look after you no matter what comes against you. Therefore, in verse 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. What do you mean by that? In your patience possess ye your souls. Who knows what he means?
Don't be afraid. Control your thoughts.
Don't be afraid.
Control your thoughts and actions.
All right, that's part of it. It's even more specific. What have we been talking about, Susan?
Don't look at what's going on around you. Keep your eyes on me and keep your soul right with me. Be patient, even though these trials are around you. Know that I'm still there and trusting you, and I'll protect you.
Okay, what is patience now? What did we say patience was? Steadfastness,
perseverance,
constancy, endurance, remaining the same. In your remaining the same, in your continuing, as Susan says, to trust in my word and not be moved by the circumstances that, and not be an up and downer. You know, like a yo-yo, yo-yo Christian, you see? To not be an up and downer on the basis of circumstances, but to be steadfast and to be an endurer and to be patient. That's what it means. You stand your ground no matter what happens, trusting in God. And what will that do for you if you are a patient person? What will you have?
Life.
What?
Life.
No. Possess your soul. Yeah, possess your soul. Okay, what does it mean to possess your soul?
Be in control.
Be in control of what?
Of your spirit.
No.
Your mind, your emotions.
That's it. By remaining steadfast, you will be in control of your emotions and your feelings. Now, when you're in control of your emotions and your feelings, there will be no fear. There will be no doubt. There'll be no wavering. There'll be no worrying. There will be no anxiety. Does that sound good? Sure does, doesn't it? In patience, that's how you get a hold of your emotions. You get control over your emotions by learning patience, developing patience. And how is patience developed, according to what we saw last week? By trying of our faith. By tribulation. Don't you wish there were an easier way? But there isn't. Now the enemy comes and he brings trials and he brings tribulations and he tests our faith. It's not God testing your faith. God already knows how much faith you have. He's not interested in measuring it. He gave it to you and he has watched you develop it. He's watched it grow and he knows how hot it is. The devil wants to know, is it hot enough for you to stand? Will you stand? And he's trying it. He's not wanting to test it. What he's wanting to do is destroy it. Now, that tribulation which the devil brings upon you for destruction, God uses to strengthen you. He uses it to develop in us the quality or the fruit of patience. Over in Galatians, turn with me over to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5. There's very little known about patience in the church. God's opening this up in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in what could be called the charismatic renewal. We're beginning to get some teaching on patience because the Holy Spirit is opening up the truth about patience. Verse number 22 of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the production of the Holy Ghost in our spirit, the Holy Spirit in our reborn spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now the word long-suffering is the same word that is translated elsewhere in the New Testament, patience. Long-suffering. Now, we read that word long-suffering, and it means we have to suffer long. In other words, we have to put up with the devil's garbage. That's not what it means. It means to be steadfast. It means to be hold fast long. Stand firm as long as it takes. To be long-suffering means to remain the same regardless of the pressures that come against you. Let me give you an example of long-suffering. You are a parent. You love your child. But every time you turn around, that child is disobeying you. The child is rebelling against you. The child is stubborn. The child's getting into trouble. The child is this, he's that. He embarrasses you. He makes you feel like a jerk. But you are long-suffering towards him. You never lose your love. You never stop loving him. That is long-suffering. See? Long-suffering. That's the way God is. The Bible says God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. That's what it means. His love is constant. It never changes. And because he is long-suffering, because he's patient, we know we can depend upon him. We know that we can trust him. We know that he'll always be the same no matter what. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, God will still love you. Because he is pure patience. He's pure love. He's pure joy. He's pure peace. He's pure all the fruits of the Spirit. He's pure meekness. He's pure gentleness. He's pure kindness. He's pure temperance and self-control. He's the pure fruit. And so, as we are living the Christian life, faith should grow in us, love should grow in us, joy should grow in us, peace should grow in us, temperance and self-control should grow in us, and also patience or long-suffering should grow in us. God's Word tells us how it will be produced. It will be produced through the trying of our faith. Now, I want to tell you how it works generally, at least at first. You first become a Christian and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You love God with all your heart. And you just feel like you can go out and just do anything you want. And you get something conjured up in your heart or in your mind you want to believe God for, or you want to you have a difficulty that you want to resist. Let's say maybe that's a better example. You have a problem in your life that you want to get that taken care of. Let me use this as an example. You are a wife, that's a fairly common kind of situation. You're a wife that's turned on for Jesus, and you have a husband who doesn't care anything about your God. More than that, he's giving you trouble every time you turn around. Well, you decide, you see it in the Word there, and you decide, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get me another believer. We're going to take Matthew 18, 19. We're going to pray the prayer of agreement. Bless God, we're going to get this donkey turned around. And so you do. You pray that prayer, and the next morning you wake up and he throws a coffee in your face. You say, well, I didn't. I'm going to need to get somebody else. We'll go get the pastor. Maybe he's got more faith. We'll get him to agree with me. We'll get Matthew 18, 19, plus the pastor, and that surely ought to do it. And so we pray, and the next day he does something else that's equally obnoxious. Well, I don't know what that's all about. Maybe what I need to do is get a prayer cloth from Ernest Angley and stick it under his pillow. Bless God, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing to my husband. And so you write off and you get a prayer cloth from Ernest Angley. He comes home, you stick that in his pillow. And the next day you find a lipstick on his car. Well, I thought Ernest Angley should. So you run off and you take a Bible course. I just get more word in me that way. And all those things are good. All those things are good. But finally, after a year or 2 years, you decide, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just give him up to you. I just trust you. Then things begin to happen. You see, in patience, you possess your soul. We must learn patience. We must learn to be long-suffering. We must learn to endure regardless of what we see. When we first come to know Jesus Christ, we think we can control things. We have to learn how to wait on God. See? And the way that comes about is that we come to the end of our rope. The trying of our faith produces patience. How does it? Well, you stiffen up against it. You know, when that resistance comes, you just, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to let this knock me over. And after you've resisted for a while and nothing happens, you just kind of lay back in the Lord. And just kind of rest in Him. Not losing your faith, but learning how to trust God. And to wait on the Lord. Now that's why Jesus, who is the example for us, that's how he could lay on the back of the ship asleep. While the waves were coming and the storm was blowing, and his disciples would come and shake him and wake him up and say, what's the matter with you, Master? Don't you care lest we perish? He had complete faith and trust in his God, and he was patient, he was constant, he never wavered. And so the circumstances of life, there were no fear in him. You see, there was no worry in him, there was no anxiety. In patience, he possessed his own emotions. In patience, he possessed his own soul. In patience, he possessed his own feelings. So he was always the same. Now, have you ever met a person like that? They will frustrate you because you can't get their goat. You ever met anybody like that? Some of you are married to ones like that. You can't get their goat. You can't make them angry. Here's one right here. You just can't hardly make her angry. You can't. I tried. Can't do it. And after a while, I gave up. In patience, possess ye your souls. I see that happening in me. Do you? What I'm talking about this morning, don't you sense that developing in yourself? It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful fruit. It's one of the most beautiful fruits that is formed in us by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, I think it's chapter 3 or 4 in verse 19. He said, I have travailed in prayer again for you, brethren, till Christ be formed in you. I know he's been birthed in you, but now I've been praying for you and interceding for you until Christ be formed in you. I want you to believe like he believes. I want you to stand like he stands. I want you to remain constant like he remains constant. In patience, possess ye your souls. Okay? I want to thank God today. That is good word. That is good teaching. It's anointed by the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you, Father, that your Spirit has spoken through me this morning and given life to the children of God. I thank you, Lord, that what we've spoken this morning is clear and we understand it, and it will cause us, Father, to be at peace and at rest and without being constantly frustrated. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us how to get control over our emotions and how to get a hold of ourselves and how to allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be produced in us, that with patience we would run the race that is set before us. What a beautiful, precious truth. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you're dismissed.